Despite the fact that it's more convenient to play a song on Spotify or Pandora than to dig through your records to find the one song you're looking for, and lugging around your prized record collection to a friend's house is much more work than bringing your music along on your cell phone, many people, young and old, still favor vinyl.
Maybe you're kicking yourself for getting rid of your record collection and donating it to the local thrift store years ago. Maybe you're a young listener discovering records for the first time. Whatever the case, it seems clear that vinyl's powerful comeback is here to stay.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you have a record collection? What is it about vinyl that you love? Why do you choose to listen to LPs instead of maybe just streaming your music online? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org.
Steve Guttenberg has worked as a high-end audio salesman and as a record producer. He currently writes the Audiophiliac blog for CNET.com and hosts the Audiophiliac Daily Show on YouTube, where he reviews equipment, music, and answers all sorts of audio-related questions. He wrote the piece, "Why Do LPs Sound So Good for CNET?" Steve, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Steve, we began seeing a brand new revival of interest in LP several years ago, and here we are today. Most music and electronic stores are also selling records again, and there are some shops around the country exclusively selling records. Does this surprise you?
No, not at all. It surprised me mostly that it goes the other way. That people are, you know, especially if you grew up with vinyl, which would make you an older person, I admit, that people were so eager to get rid of it. But, you know, I think having a physical connection to music is incredibly meaningful. That is, holding a record or even a CD in your hand, but having a physical copy of that music means something. And you know, I want to just put it this way. You know, I have records I bought as a teenager, and I always took good care of my records. So I still have those records, not as keepsakes. I still listen to them, and it brings back memories of, you know, I was with my girlfriend when I got this record, or I bought this one when I was in California. And that kind of connection that goes on for decades and decades and decades, I worry about people who only listen to streaming music or downloaded music, whereas they, you know, grow older, if they never had a physical connection to a specific song or album, how will they relate to that music? You know, will it be as meaningful to them as it is to me? I mean, there's no way to know the answer to that question, but I don't know. It's something I think about.
For me, Steve, being 50 years old, I have a connection to vinyl records and 45s myself, but for our younger listeners who might be unfamiliar with the sound of records, how do you best describe the sound of vinyl?
Well, I think it's a tough question to answer in a quick, short way, because the cliche is it sounds more, in quotes, musical. It sounds more like real music, although that tends to mean that it's more about acoustic, you know, non-amplified, not electronic music, but it can sound more like music. But more than the sound of it, I think one of the biggest, let's say, dividing lines between listening to a vinyl, you know, record versus listening to it streamed or even a CD is the way it engages the listener. I did a story years ago where I interviewed seven people who are under 40 years old who just got their first turntable. And what they all told me is that they noticed when they played records, they didn't multitask. They put the record on the platter, they put the stylus in the groove, and they started listening to music, and they listened to it. When they streamed, they had music on, and they did other things. And the fact that every single person, the youngest was 14 years old, so it wasn't a nostalgia trip for him. And yet he noticed that he didn't multitask when he listened to vinyl.
Steve Guttenberg joins us. He currently writes the Audiophiliac blog for CNET.com. He also hosts the Audiophiliac Daily Show on YouTube, where he reviews equipment, music, and answers all sorts of audio-related questions. We are talking about his piece in CNET called "Why Do LPs Sound So Good?" And we're talking about the comeback of vinyl right here on Central Time. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Crash in Milwaukee. Good afternoon, Crash. Welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I haven't read the article and seen it yet, but I want to check it out.
You have a question for Steve?
Well, I just want to make a comment, and I'd love to hear Steve's take on it. I'm an audio engineer, and I often talk about why I listen to vinyl, and there's so much to be said for the psychoacoustics of analog sound versus digital sound and the way it affects your nervous system. Like, they're getting better and better at, like, packing the bits full of the sounds that we hear, but there's a lot of things about vinyl that you don't actually hear, but it affects your nervous system differently than what you're, I'm talking about stuff above the range of human hearing, but they have problems with digital recordings and those artifacts actually causing you to have what's called listener fatigue sooner. And that's why I listen to vinyl. And I know the equipment can be cost prohibitive, but if you get good equipment, the stuff that can really bring vinyl to life, that stuff's built to last 20, 30, even 50 years.
That's true. Long lifetime, useful service life for a turntable. I have a very close friend. I was with him when he bought his turntable in 1972. He still plays it, and I mean plays it every day. He's a musician. He's home during the day. He listens to vinyl every day on this turntable he bought in 1972.
Steve, you know, Crash talked about the sound waves. I know you talked about part of the appeal might be the physicality of it, you know, holding a record, putting the record on the turntable and putting the needle down on it. Is there a such thing as the sound waves maybe being at least unknowingly to a listener a lot better than maybe a sound like digital?
Well, yeah, I think that's where that engagement part comes from, right? That people who listen to vinyl are more likely to actually listen to it as opposed to have it on as background sound. And that says a lot because people nowadays are sort of, let's say, programmed not to listen. They have music on all the time. They just can't focus entirely on music. They have to do something else while they listen to music. While people who listen to vinyl are more likely to actually just sit and listen to it.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Deborah in Milwaukee. Good afternoon, Deborah. Welcome to Central Time.
Hi, I just tuned in, so I'm a little off the conversation about specifically vinyl, but I'm looking at a little. It's got a Knight. It's Knight Allied Radio Corporation, Chicago, and a little 45 RPM record player that came with the house. And which was built in 1950 and about 1045 RPMs. And we've listened to them a couple times, but I'm 61. I grew up listening to Barbra Streisand. My mom played records constantly. And I literally think that's the foundation of my appreciation for music, which hopefully I think is the universal language that will save the world someday. But I think whatever form I listen to music in is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Thank you for the call, Deborah. What did you think of Deborah's comments about just the format of music that she listens to?
To 45s it was?
Yeah.
Sure. It's all vinyl. It's all analog to me. So, yeah, it reaches people in a different way.
Steve, what do you see as potential drawbacks to this format? And what I mean by that is one of the things that both I and many people have noticed is if you try to buy a quality turntable nowadays, it's very expensive. Whereas, maybe 10, 15 years ago, where when it wasn't kind of the in thing anymore, you could find it at any garage sale or at a thrift shop. Are there other drawbacks to the format other than that?
No. And by the way, I mean, in preparation for our talk, I did put together a list of turntables that I recommend, and they start at $100.
Okay.
So I don't think that price should be an impediment to someone getting into vinyl for the first time or someone who's already had it in their youth and are coming back to it now. For $100, you can get a very nice turntable. And of course, you can spend more money and buy a nicer turntable, but starting at $100, on Amazon or wherever, it shouldn't be a problem. I think the thing is the, in quotes, work of playing records. I think you have to pick the record you're going to play,
right,
take it out of the rack, walk over to the turntable, take it out of the sleeve, put it on the... It's way more work than playing, you know, streaming Spotify, right? So, but that's part of the thing that makes it good, is that you're more involved. You've made a conscious decision to play this album as opposed to just streaming whatever. You know, it's, the engagement is key.
Steve, as far as repair and maintenance goes, you know, back in the days when you used to have to replace the needle because the needle wore out, I mean, how easy is it to find parts for these?
Well, you know, thanks to the internet, that's one thing, is it's easy to find stuff on the internet that would be hard to find in a local store. So finding a replacement stylus for your cartridge, assuming it's not, you know, 50 years old, isn't terribly difficult. That's the only thing that really, you know, wears out on a turntable is a stylus. You know, every few years, if you have a record collection that's important to you and you do play lots of records, you should replace the stylus every 2 or 3 years.
Where do you see the future going for LPs?
I think it's just going to continue to grow for a number of reasons beyond the ones we've just discussed. I think also because artists, remember them?
Yes.
They actually make money when you buy a record. It's kind of crazy that way, right? They actually make money. And I was once at some sort of technical convention. It was somebody who owned a record company, and he said something like, it took 17,000 streams for him to make as much money as he did from the sale of one LP.
Wow.
So quite a ratio. So the fact that artists are making records because some of their fans at least want them, and not just want them, but treasure them for some of the reasons I discussed before, that's a physical artifact of their music that they will have hopefully for a long time if that music, you know, still is important to them as the decades roll by.
And finally, with about a minute left, Steve, do you think we're just going to see more technology and more records hit the market?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just want to name that $100 turntable.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's called, the company name is Audio Technica, and the model is ATLP60.
Steve, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Totally my pleasure. Thank you.
Steve Guttenberg writes the Audiophiliac blog for CNET.com and hosts the Audiophiliac Daily Show on YouTube. He joined us to talk about why vinyl records continue to be a format of choice for many music listeners.